Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, Ron, it's Caravan of Garbage. Because Ocean's 8 is nearly in theaters, or it is, who knows?
Maybe it's been long gone. We don't know when you're watching or listening to this.
That's fine.
Or maybe there's a third format that we don't even know exists in the future.
Yeah, maybe someone shoots a bullet of entertainment right into your brain.
Ah, my brain! Ooh, content.
So we thought we'd look at the original Ocean's 11.
And now, this is the original. This isn't the one with your Clooney and your Brad Pitt, those boys.
No.
It's with some stars of yesteryear, which at the time were the stars of today.
Correct. The Ocean's 11, the kind of we grew up with your George Clooney's and your Brad Pitt's. I rewatched it recently. It's a blast, man. It's a lot of fun. It's a rollicking adventure. Everyone's got different skills.
We grew up with it.
But the tagline of this...
I watched it with my dad every year.
That's right. But the tagline of this movie should be, imagine the simplest heist to ever be pulled off by 11 of the drunkest and dumbest men on the planet. Is that accurate?
Look, you're wrong, because it's drunkest and dumbest and most interchangeable men.
Yes.
Because who's who in this movie?
I mean, you recognise your Dean Martins, you recognise your Frank Sinatra's, your Sammy Davis Jr.'s. Cesar Romero's in it.
He is, that's true.
Which is a bit of a blast.
He's wearing his iconic, I will never shave this off, even for my role as the Joker, mustache.
That's it. But everybody else just kind of guys with slick hair, drinking whiskey at a bar.
Wearing ill-fitting suits.
And calling each other from... They're all in different hotels calling each other, but via the operator. And you have to see all of that. Yeah. But then often they're not in, or they pretend they're not in.
At one point, Cesar Romero picks up the phone and he goes, "Operator, cancel all my upcoming calls." And I'm like, oh, thank God. I don't want to see any more scenes where somebody calls somebody else through the operator.
So the idea is that Frank Sinatra's character, your Danny Ocean, if you will.
He's the only character, I think, who keeps his name.
Oh, in the new ones.
In the new one, they all have different names.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, fair enough. So they're all from this World War II airborne division.
They're all ex-paratroopers.
Yeah. And so it's 15 years after the war. It's 1960. It's the 60s. It's the swinging 60s, Mason. Mm-hmm. And it opens with a guy getting a shave.
I think it's quite the swinging 60s, yeah.
No, it was shot in like 59.
Yeah, so right. It's
the dull and dreary 50s.
Yeah.
The first thing we see of Frank Sinatra is he sidles on into a room where one of his mates is getting a massage and he's wearing a delightful orange cashmere sweater. Uh-huh. And it's possibly the worst thing I've ever seen.
Brutal. Look, it's not the worst thing about this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not even the worst thing about that scene. The worst thing about that scene is this is just a oily shirtless man sitting on a couch just ruining the upholstery.
That's all it, right. Yeah.
I should stress also before we get way into this movie, nothing happens in it.
No, absolutely not. When you find out what the heist is, because they're talking about this heist and they're getting the crew together, it's 52 minutes in before you find out what it is.
Mm.
And the heist, and we'll get to it.
You took notes.
Oh, absolutely.
You
I
had
did.
A stopwatch going.
There's
yeah.
no... It's the simplest thing you'll ever see in your life. And you think when they're gathering the crew that they're all going to have different skills or different personalities.
Imagine having a different personality from another guy in 1960.
But they're mostly entirely interchangeable. And the only ones with skills is one's an electrician.
Yep.
And one drives a garbage truck. And everybody else can kind of do the same thing.
You're incorrect. Frank Sinatra, Danny Ocean's ability is that he can mimic various accents, but only on the phone and only for prank-related purposes.
And he has to put a handkerchief over the receiver. So there's pressure from the kind of guy. He wants to get this Ocean's group together to pull this casino heist. They're going to knock over five casinos.
I should also stress that the modern day one, the 2000, the 1999 or whatever it is, 2001, that also takes a while to get to the heist.
Yeah.
But you don't really notice because it's fast moving and breezy and they mix it up with a lot of set pieces.
He's the thief. He's the acrobat guy.
He's the demolitions guy.
Yeah,
right.
he's the croupier working the floor.
And we introduce all those, and I don't want to compare it to the new one so much, but the new one is so much better.
Ugh.
But the new one, the first 45 minutes is just introducing characters, but it's like, here's something that's happening on a racetrack. Here's something that's happening in a robbery in progress. Here's something happening on a subway. This movie, it's just, hey, here's a dude in a suit in a hotel room. Here's another dude in a suit in a hotel room.
Here's a guy in a hotel bar.
Mm.
There's a guy that's getting out of jail. But we don't see him get out of jail.
It's just on the
in
phone.
An office.
It's like, oh, we can't use him. He's in jail. Oh, actually, we can because he's getting out of jail. Oh, cool. Oh, hey, man, you've gotten out of jail. Yes, I got out of jail. What was jail like? It was fine. Don't want to talk about it or see it, though.
There is a fist fight early on, and this happens in, I guess, the action set piece of the movie.
Uh-huh.
We cut to a burlesque club, and Frank Sinatra is there, and he's having a drink at the bar, and people are sidling up to each other, getting a whiskey or whatever.
There's a lot of sidling.
There's a lot of that. And what passes for entertainment in this era that I love is, there's a woman on stage, she's in like a bikini with a skirt, and she's just holding a snake above her head, and just moving in a circle.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she kind of goes down on one knee to raucous
and
applause.
Everyone is wild. It's like another universe,
it's
isn't
crazy.
It?
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, the first time I watched the show Mad Men, which is set in the 60s as well, I'm like, this is like a parallel universe. It's like an alien world because the attitudes are so different and the reality is so different. And it's the same here. It's like, is this what people liked? You went out for this. You dressed up. You put on an ill-fitting boxy tuxedo to go out and watch a woman twirl a snake.
Well, the second woman that comes out, who's called Honeyface, who's the wife of one of the men who's pulling off the heist, she comes out in a white dress, and I'm thinking, okay, she's going to sing, she's going to dance, she's going to do a cartwheel, fire twirl, I don't know. And then she just clip-clops in a circle for about a minute. To everybody, and everybody's watching, and then it cuts to the bar, and Frank Sinatra's having a conversation with the guy's wife or whatever, and you hear the crowd kind of rear up that something's happening, and I expect it's going to cut back and she's balancing on a chair or throwing a knife or something, but she's just clip-clopping in a circle. it's exactly the same thing.
We're introduced to Sammy Davis Jr.'s character. It's just a bunch of blue-collar dudes standing in an open field, like around maybe like a drum of fire, and somebody's just playing a harmonica, and then they stop playing the harmonica, and people are like, yeah,
good stuff. Yeah, there was a song I recognized that Dean Martin
he sings Ain't That a Kick in the Head. He sings it twice,
which I quite liked. But there's also a bar fight early on, and it's the choreography you'd expect from this era. A guy throws a right, someone blocks it on their left, and then punches him in the face, and that happens like three different times. There's no finesse to it. It's just block, punch in the face. That's it.
You would think if you lived in this era, maybe swing your punch, expect it to be blocked, and then expect it to be blocked and for the other guy to then punch you in the head and then block that punch.
That's it.
And then just see who gets tired of blocking first. That's how fighting worked back then.
There's also the subplot, which is kind of similar to the new one, where Danny Ocean has fallen out with his wife.
Yes.
And he's trying to get her back. But in this version, Danny Ocean is also got a girl on the side.
Yeah.
Who he makes really mad because he wants to end it. And she throws a glass at him and it hits the wall.
Uh-huh.
And then later, there's another scene where he tries to get his wife back. And then he goes back to this woman and gives her his hotel key, even though he's trying to get his wife back.
Right. He's playing both sides.
He's playing both sides.
Wow.
And she goes...
He's really hedging his bets.
He really is. And she goes, not unlike any of this, Danny Ocean. And she calls his wife. And his wife's like, go fuck yourself. I love Danny Ocean even more, even though you've told me all this. He's my number one fella or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And again, it's like, what universe is this?
There's some strange attitudes back then. So have we gotten to the... Look, all the delightful characters have been introduced. I can't even... Peter Lawford is another guy.
Yeah, there's another... Okay. So the guy they get out of jail is an electrician. He's important, would you say? There's a guy who turns up to the house just before where they're going to plan the big heist, and they're going to do the big reveal, and he's in a cowboy hat, and he's drunk, and he's got a broken arm.
Yeah, that's
except
right.
Except he's not drunk, and he comes in, and the guy who's in charge is like, what do we get this guy for? He's got a broken arm. He can't do anything. What are you doing? And then Danny Ocean's like, watch this. And he throws him a billiard ball and he catches it. And he's like,
with his broken arm.
He's like, look, it's a fake cast. And he takes it off. And everyone's like, great stuff.
He's done it again. And he's thinking, a real chameleon.
Is he like a sleight of hand guy? What's his skill? It must factor into his quick reflexes and the fact that he's got a fake cast. Nothing.
It never comes up again. Yeah. He's just a guy. He just went, oh, I'm going to be joining the Ocean Boys. I'm going to be meeting the big boss. I'd better pretend to be drunk and put a cast on so he knows that I'm a master of deception.
Ridiculous.
It never comes up. At no point do we see he has to smuggle something through so he puts a fake cast on. It never happens again.
No.
It's wild.
Bizarre. So they show up for this meeting and Frank Sinatra pulls out a map. Well, it's not a map. It's a road and it's got like six casinos.
You know what other skill he has? What? He's got weird... He's just got a magician skills. Because that's like a blue handkerchief and like a silk one. And then he waves his hand around it. And then it's a yellow handkerchief. And then it's a map.
Oh, wow.
Like he does some serious close-up magic skills.
But we don't see any of that. No. I bet Frank Sinatra didn't actually do that either. If it's close-up magic stuff, it's somebody else's hands.
Yeah, right.
I'd almost guarantee it. So they reveal... And I'm thinking, oh, this must be some elaborate heist where they're gonna rob one and then, you know, and they're gonna come in through the ceiling or whatever. But it's basically there's six casinos in a row and they're gonna switch off the power and then they're just gonna walk in and take the money. And I'm thinking there must be a twist to this. There must be something kind of goes wrong. Uh-huh. But it's literally that. That's all they need to do.
The additional wrinkle is that when the lights get cut out, when the power gets cut at the casino, there's some backup power which turns the lights back on.
Yeah, right.
So what they're going to do is they're going to cut two wires,
yes,
and they're going to switch the wires. So instead of when the backup power generator switches on, instead of the lights coming back on, it's just going to open all the security doors.
Yes.
That's
and,
it.
And that's what they need the electrician for. But Frank Ocean is the one who...
You're thinking of Frank Ocean, the great singer.
Danny Ocean is the one who tells the electrician to do that. He's like, can't you just switch the wires? And the electrician's like, yeah, probably.
Right.
And it was so important that this guy would be out of jail to do this.
Yeah, right.
This thing that Frank or Danny Ocean already knew about.
That's true. That didn't occur to me. But yeah, you could just get a regular electrician and be like, hey, can you come here for a sec? Hey, can you switch these wires? Yeah, cool. Here's $50. All right, see you later, mate.
So when they're scoping out the casinos, they're suspiciously walking around the floor, just nodding to each other. You notice that? There's one will stand near a door and he's dressed as a cleaner. And then there's a guy at the bar and they're like, nod.
It feels very much like a student film or a film that they did on the day.
Yes.
But then I guess there was a script to this, was there?
Well, I can talk about that a bit more at the end, but there was a script. Uh-huh. But this was also shot around them all performing their shows in Vegas at the time.
Okay.
So they'd perform their shows and they'd get up early and then they'd do this and then they'd drink until they'd have to do the next show or whatever these guys do. But when the heist starts, they look so suspicious. And they're just standing awkwardly and again, like looking at each other.
Yeah.
Like from across the room.
Nodding and saluting and waving.
But the doors just open when the lights go out and they just walk in with a duffel bag.
And the security guards don't have any, like, there's no flashlights, there's no dogs, there's no...
They hold some hostage briefly, don't they? I'm fairly certain that happens.
Oh, also the because you know how in all these heist movies, there's like normally the security is impregnable, but on this day at this time, this is going to happen. There's going to be a system reboot. There's going to be a computer thing. Everybody's going to be doing a thing, and so we've got exactly 30 seconds, and we're going to do this, and we're going to switch the cameras, and we're going to do whatever. The main thing of this is, well, normally it's a security would be impregnable and we would immediately be caught. But in this instance, it's New Year's Day. It's going to hit the stroke of midnight and everybody in Las Vegas is going to stop what they're doing and sing Auld Lang Syne all together without exception.
For a minute and 32 seconds.
38 seconds. 38 seconds. Don't give... Yeah. You got to be precise. But also, like, I've been at New Year's parties where people have sung Auld Lang Syne, and people sing Auld Lang Syne for as long as they can be bothered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bothered concentrating. Yes. Or for as long as they can remember the words, which is usually about 20 seconds.
Yeah,
the fact that they've gone, okay, look, we've timed it out. There's a Auld Lang Syne goes for a minute and 38 seconds, so everybody is going to be steadfast and they're going to be locked into this song for exactly that amount of time. So that's exactly how long we have. No. That is a wild supposition to be like, nobody's going to be doing anything else.
But this is an era where people can watch a woman
clip-clop
a snake around a stage.
I guess so.
For 20 minutes.
I guess they're like, oh, okay, right, time to... Wow, we've got, you know what, everybody, we've got a minute and 38 seconds to not think about the grim realities of death. So let's do it. Let's fire up.
And we only sing this song once a year. Yep. It would be that kind of thing where if you sing it when it's not that
and
time
if you don't sing, if you don't sing it for the full amount of time, you're un-American. You're probably a communist. So they
walk in and they walk out with the money.
Yep.
They put it in trash cans out the back of each casino.
Yep.
So, because that's the easiest way to get it out of Vegas, because Sammy Davis Jr. is going to come in and grab it in the garbage
truck. His skill is driving a garbage truck.
Not a terrible idea, mm-hmm. granted. But just when you think everything's fine, Mason, the one who got out of jail has a heart attack and he dies in the street, presumably because, like all of them, he smokes 100 cigarettes a day.
And he's always been 55.
That's right, exactly.
He's always been 55 years old. That's how he was born, like all of them. His heart's never been good.
So when one of them dies, there's a moment where Frank Sinatra is kind of talking about it. He's like, we've got to still do the heist or whatever. We're still Ocean's 11 or whatever. And the other guy's like, oh, Frank Sinatra seems to be taking it hard. He looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's the same inflection in his voice. His face is stoic. He looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
Maybe there's nuance here to men from the 50s and 60s that I'm not picking up on. Mm. But that guy doesn't have a shred of emotion in his entire body.
Mm.
Anyway, so it's like $6 million. There's no cameras, so nobody's seen anything.
Yep.
So the law enforcement's big plan is check every bag at the airport, which is hilarious nowadays because they make you take your shoes off.
Yeah, right.
And it's also, hey, you know that one road that goes out of Vegas? Just stop every car.
Yeah, except Sammy Davis Jr. driving the truck full of money, the garbage truck, just rolls up and he's like, hey guys, what's going on at the checkpoint? And the cops are just like, get this truck out of here. Just go straight through. We don't have time to deal with you, garbage truck man.
But there's also, you see them checking other people, and there's like an old woman in a car, and she's like, what happened? They're like, that was a robbery or whatever. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she just drives off. Check the boot. Check the back seat.
Yeah.
Do something. So They could have just driven it out in a regular car. Could have just put it in a briefcase, I'd imagine, and just walked through the desert.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They could have put the cash in their clothing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
In the spare tire, they could... Oh, my God.
Because $6 million, physically, it's not a lot of money. It's like six small bags. So anyway, Sammy Davis Jr. drops it off at the garbage dump to pick up later. But in the meantime, there's a guy played by Cesar Romero, who is the soon-to-be stepfather of Frank Sinatra's mate, whose one problem is that he's always had money for all the 55 years that he's been alive, being 55 for, and his mum always gives him money. And he's like, that's my problem. My whole life, whenever I needed money, my mum would just give me money. That's why I want to pull this heist off.
There's a scene where he calls his mother, right? And he goes, Mum, I need some money. And she's like, oh, why? Not again, why? And he's like, I just need some spending money. Yes. And she's like, oh, fine then.
I thought it was for an investment.
Yeah.
But if you want to spend it, that's fine.
Here it is. Anyway, but so his mother is going to be marrying Cesar Romero, a man who is clearly the same age as him.
There's an hilarious line because Cesar Romero very quickly figures out that it's these 11 guys. Because he's like, well, that guy died in the street. And he
was a paratrooper.
He was a paratrooper with Frank Ocean's men. But I know he's not Frank Ocean. I'm combining names.
It's fine. But he doesn't figure it out by detective work or examining a crime scene. His wife to be is just like, boy, they're a paratrooper. Boy, well, all his army friends are hanging out, aren't they? They're always having meetings and saying
they're probably up to something.
Probably up to something in Las Vegas. Why else would they be in Las Vegas? And he's like, up to something in Las Vegas, like a crime,
because he's looking for criminals.
Yeah,
instead of these 11 trained men.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so he figures it out and he goes to Frank Sinatra and he's like, what you've done, it's a real bloody work of art. First of all, it's fucking not. It's just walking into a room and taking some money. But he's like, I envy you guys. I envy your youth. Mm. And I looked up his age. This dude is 7 years older than Frank Sinatra.
Also, what I like about... So Cesar Romero's character, he's investigating this crime, but he's not a cop.
No.
He's a former gang... He's a former, like, mob guy who just wants to solve the crime so he can take the money, I guess, for himself, even though his wife's rich.
Yes.
So he's rich also.
He's also independently rich.
Maybe he wants to do it for kicks or to get one over on these guys. And so he just goes to Frank Sinatra and...
Frank Ocean.
And he goes to the other dudes and he's like, listen, I know what you did and I want half the money. And they're like, okay... Like, there's barely half
there's
a denial.
There's not like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Prove it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
There's none of that at all.
Because he doesn't know where it's gone. He doesn't know how they got it out of the city, even if they have got it out of the city.
That's exactly it.
He's just like, you better give me half the money. They should just be like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's literally no evidence because there's no cameras.
That's right, exactly.
Get out of here, mate.
You can just say somebody else saw you somewhere else at that exact time.
And there'd be no way to prove it. Forever. That was forensics back in the day.
But I guess the Cesar Romero guy is supposed to be the bad guy. But I'm like, okay, he's found you out and you've admitted it immediately. Just give him half. He's not a worse bloke than you. I like him more than any of you. Right. Give him half of the money.
Yeah.
That's not unreasonable.
Yeah, because Cesar Romero's character, whose name I cannot recall and will not look up, he initially goes to the casino bosses and he's like, give me 30% of this money.
Yeah.
And I will find these guys for you. And then he goes and he double crosses them and he's like, give me 50% of the money.
Yeah.
Just find a middle ground. Frank Sinatra could have just been like, look, we didn't get that much. Look, we lost some of it. We'll give you $100,000 to get out of here.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need to do. Mm. So anyway, they put on blackface and they... Yep. Well, it's more of a disguise because what they do, under the cover of darkness, they sneak into where the electrician's body is and they put all the money in the coffin because they're like, nobody will find it in the coffin of the guy who died who...
Is clearly linked to
us and this crime. So we'll just take it away from the garbage dump with... infinite piles of rubbish where you'd never find it.
Also, if it can fit in a coffin, it could also fit in probably any coffin-sized object.
Yeah.
As we previously mentioned, put it in a hot water heater. Put it in a couple of suitcases.
Exactly. But in doing so, they take out $10,000 for the son of the electrician to give to him. Mm-hmm. But they also leave a band that says $10,000 on the floor next to the coffin. And the guy, the mortician, rings Cesar Romero and he's like, you told me to ring if something funny happened. And I'll tell you what, something funny happened. I found a band that said 10 grand next to the coffin. I didn't open the coffin, but I just thought I'd want you to know that I found this band for $10,000.
Look, rules are rules. Mortician's rules. Once you close that coffin, you never open it up again.
So the idea is that they're going to go back after the funeral and get this money back.
Presume. How closed is this closed casket funeral? You know, never want to check anything.
So to make sure everything's going to plan.
You never open that coffin to make sure the right guy's in there? No.
What if it was an open casket funeral?
Yeah.
Which a lot of them were and still are. So they're in a hotel. The phone rings. Frank Ocean answers the phone and he goes, Operation Pine Box. In case it wasn't clear. Yeah, right. He goes, what if it was Cesar Romero? Oh, it's in the coffin, is it? Because you just said pine box and your friend recently died and is in a pine box.
There's literally
it's
no
supposed
other...
to be covert.
There's only one thing called... There's only one thing that you call a pine box and it's a coffin. Gee, bloody hell. I'm glad you were paying more attention than I was because I didn't pick up on that.
That's great
stuff.
So they're sitting there in the funeral as it's happening and Cesar Romero's at the back and he's like, I bloody got them. And then the priest or whatever's like, and now it's time for the body to be cremated. And they're like, wah, wah, wah. And they all look at each other one at a time.
Because the mortician, it's the same mortician, right? He just goes to the widow and he says, listen, you don't want to ship the coffin back to where you live because that's very expensive. So just have the funeral here and then we'll just immediately cremate the whole thing
straight away.
That'll be much cheaper. And she's like, oh, cool. Okay, great.
What they could have done is turn the lights off and just walk in and
take the money again, right? It's starting to... See, but that's the thing. Like, maybe they don't want to take the money. Maybe it's a psychological block. Like,
it seems to be.
Why couldn't they just take it out?
Because at the movie just ends. They just leave.
Yeah.
And the credits are them just walking away down the street. The coffin's not on fire. Just storm in and grab it.
Yeah. You know who can't go into a mortuary? Anybody else besides the mortician, right? You just wait till the coffin's about to go in the thing because it takes literally hours to burn something like that in a crematorium and just be like, we'll take it from here. Okay, bye.
Idiots.
Oh, God.
What a pack of fucking dummies.
Yeah, right?
This is a horrible film.
Yeah.
I know people are like, I hope Ocean's 8 doesn't tarnish the legacy of the Ocean's films. Most of these films are terrible.
Three out of the four are bad.
At least.
Yes.
And look, I don't mind Ocean's 13. It's fine.
Yeah.
But this is horrendous. And I remember reading an interview with George Clooney around the time when his version came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something like, hey, how does it feel to be like taking on like this legacy of a film, this titan of a blockbuster, you know, that was out and then everybody loved it. And he's like, have you seen it? It's a horrible film. I don't feel bad about it all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
There is no way we can't improve on that. So I've got a couple of facts here, Mason,
okay,
from the film.
Great.
Unless you've got some final
thoughts. Well, I was going to say final thoughts, just some miscellaneous thoughts. One, everybody dresses like garbage in this film, except potentially Cesar Romero and the old boss, the miscellaneous, vaguely Mediterranean boss guy. Everybody's like, oh my God, back in the day, everybody is so stylish. And so, no, they're not. Everybody's wearing a weird boxy suit.
A grey suit.
Everybody's wearing a weird boxy suit that's buttoned at a weird angle and all their collars are askew. And the jackets bunch up at the back when they put their hands in their pockets.
Because they're drunk.
Yeah,
they're all drunk.
They're all drunk, yeah. And also, second one, every woman in this movie is being called toots and slapped on the ass.
That's right. What a film.
Yeah. Anyway, you got some facts. I'm ready.
For a colour movie, there are endless interiors of grey walls and people wearing grey clothes.
Yep.
That's
as
not
well as,
interesting.
As well as the style at the time.
And significant portions of the movie's interactions between major characters were ad-libbed. The actors playing the leading roles all knew each other well and improvised dialogue as well as or better than the script.
Oh, they all just improvised some sweet in-jokes that clearly only they knew about.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of little fun little things that if you were Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin or followed them obsessively, maybe you would get. But shortly afterwards, no idea. What are they even talking about?
This movie is utter shit. There's a lot of my favorite movies come from this era of filmmaking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But this is some bottom rung garbage.
Good luck getting through it. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, exactly. It's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's not... It doesn't go by in a clip. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been Caravan of Garbage. If you've got a suggestion for something terrible to watch or read or do or play or whatever, we're more than happy to give it a bloody look-see.
Oh, we'd love to.
Yeah, if you've got any thoughts on this, please leave it below. A like always helps, doesn't it, Mason?
Absolutely, probably.
Also, if you're listening to this, there's a video version, so you can watch all this glory in beautiful grey and
You want to see some boxy suits? Yeah. We got this. We got it for you.
That's exactly it. Also, there's videos here every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday if you want to check them out. We also have a podcast called The Weekly Planet.
Weekly Planet.
We talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out every Monday. We've probably got an Oceans episode coming up, don't we?
I'd say so.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. All right, guys. Everybody have a fun and good time.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
I've been drunk this whole time.
Did you ad-lib this?
Yeah, this whole thing.
Oh, that's very 1959.
You handed me the script, but I'm like, no, I can think of some things that are as good or better.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.